inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me today. And if you missed Tuesday's show, you need to go back and listen to that at the website today, because that is, I think it's the gauntlet thrown down. The whole program, I was talking about what we need to do as we're headed into the end of 2024 to prepare for 2025 and this amazing opportunity we have, this cracked window that we're going to shove open and dive through to restore truth, justice, and the American way. So make sure you go back and listen to that program. Lots of action steps for you, a game plan laid out for what we can do to save the country and restore those things, and specific things for you to do in preparation for 2025. But for today, I'm going to switch gears a little bit because I had the chance to interview Pat Boone. Yes, that's right, Pat Boone. And it was a few weeks back. It was actually right before the election, and I just haven't had a chance to share it with you with everything that's been going on. So let's jump in. Really honored to do this interview with Pat Boone. I mean, this is a guy that broke all the records, had so many number one hits, and just amazing guy, and 90 years old and still at it, and just having a huge impact. He's a big fan of Wall Builders and David Barton. So that's how I was able to get the interview. And we actually did the interview for Wall Builders, but I want to share it with you here, our listeners on At the Core. So super, super honored to have Pat Boone with us. Big fan of Wall Builders and just honored to have him on the program. And just thrilled to have you on. Thanks for your time today.
I'll tell you, this is my first time to be on this program, though my relationship with David Barton and his wisdom goes back a long way. And I think I told you I once wrote, actually produced, but was ready to produce a script that David Barton wrote on Larry King interviewing the framers of the Constitution and having all the framers say what they physically and verbally spoke and said and is recorded by David. Of their positions on the right to bear arms, on getting involved in other nations' business, of liberties and equalities. And even Jefferson, who owned slaves, is the one who wrote the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, even though they have been born into a nation and the world that accepted slavery. They knew it was wrong, and they spoke out about it. And Barton records their very words: separation of church and state, bosh. What part of no don't you understand? Congress shall make
no law, or
negative, no law concerning religion. Religion is on its own, hands off government, but religion, faith can certainly influence the government as our founders knew and as they did. Anyway, I didn't. Yeah. You don't want me to be jabbering my head off.
Well, no, I love it. I love it, and I love the concept. Even just it's like getting in a time machine and going back and interviewing the founders, or actually send to the time machine to them and getting them to come this way and answer those questions for us.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And Larry King. Yeah. We had great actors ready to do, like Charlton Heston was going to be Washington, and other great actors play Matt Adams and Monroe and the other folks that wrote the Constitution, and sitting around a table, Larry King interviewing, and he was going to do it. He said, in a New York minute, I'll do it. But no, CBN said, no, you won't. He was working on CBN, and that you won't do it. We've already had ideas about Larry King interviewing people who are dead and gone, but that never happened. They just prevented him from doing that show, which we wanted to put in schools all over America. And by the way, remind David that we still have his script that he wrote, and we can still do this show with all the, we'll have to get different actors now.
Yeah, let's dust that off and get that done. Well, you just did a movie about Ronald Reagan reliving a moment that actually happened, but you play the pastor, I guess, that you were there with. I didn't realize this as I'm watching the movie. That had to be incredible for you to relive that moment.
Can I tell you about that?
Yeah, please.
George Otis was not a minister. In effect, he was, but he was really known as a very experienced businessman, a business doctor. He was the guy, if a business was in danger and maybe about to go bankrupt, they would call in George Otis to try to set the boat aright and correct all the things they were doing wrong, like Lear Industries, Magnavox, other companies like that he saved. But he was also a deeply spiritual man. So he and my wife Shirley and I and a couple of others went to Sacramento while Reagan was governor. We were close friends with Ronald and Nancy Reagan. Our kids went to school together because they had their kids at the end of their childbearing capability in their early 40s. And Shirley and I were in a big hurry. Had all four of our daughters went by the time we were 23. So our kids went to school together. We knew Ron and Nancy. And we went to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting, worship and healing in the Sacramento Auditorium. And Reagan, knowing we were going to be there, invited us to come over to the governor's mansion. And we did in the afternoon before we returned to Los Angeles. And as we spoke and had some tea and conversation and fun with him, as we were about to leave, George Otis said, "Governor, can we have a word of prayer with you before we leave?" And Reagan said, "Well, sure." And so we took his hands and in a circle, and Shirley and I and a couple others voiced part of a prayer. Then he got to George Otis, whose right hand, and I called him the electric man, because whenever he was in the spirit, his hands just quivered like this. It's like there was a current flowing through him.
Oh, wow.
And he was holding Reagan's right hand. And he started the last part of the prayer. "Lord, we thank you so much for this country, for our freedoms, for our liberties, for this beautiful state, and for this man, Lord." And he stopped, and he was silent. And we were waiting for him to finish. And then in a different voice, but it was George's voice, but differently, "My son, I'm well pleased with you. If you continue to walk uprightly before me, you will dwell at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And another pause. And then he finished the prayer, "In Jesus' name, amen." We looked at Reagan. He was glassy-eyed. I mean, he'd been holding George's hand.
Yeah.
And he also, that current was running through him. And he said, "Well, that was something." That's all we could say. That was something. And that's in the film. And so in this scene in the film, I couldn't play Pat Boone. I'm too old to play Pat Boone in that scene. So I played George Otis, and a young kid was playing me and a young girl playing Shirley. In that scene, that was actual. It was a word of prophecy, and it was true prophecy, came from God himself through George Otis into Reagan. And when Reagan was, he didn't get the nomination that in 76, was it?
Yeah.
But the next time around, he had to be talked into running again. This time he was elected. And the night of his election, I was in Washington for some reason and watching the news coming in and saw that it was very favorable. And so I, just on a hunch, I picked up the phone and called Ronald Reagan at his home in Pacific Palisades, where he was still waiting for the verdict before he went to the hotel. And I heard him say, "Hello." And I said, "May I be the first to call you Mr. President?" "Oh, Pat,
wow."
"Hello." He says, "No, it's a little premature. They're still counting the votes." I said, "No, Tom Brokaw and Peter Jennings and the other main ones are, I've forgotten the other main one, the CBS guy. Anyway, they were all pronouncing that it looks like the governor of California is going to be our next president." I said, "Mr. President, they don't sound like they're too pleased with it, but you are our next president." Wait a minute, do you remember that time in Sacramento when that man George Otis spoke those words at holding your hand? He said, "I've thought of it many times in the last few months." And so that was a true word. It really happened, and we filmed it. And that movie, if you've seen the movie, it's a great movie.
Oh, it's incredible. Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. I've been waiting for something like that for years. I did a documentary about Reagan 30 years ago about his economic policies.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting somebody to make that kind of a movie about it. I thought they did a fantastic job. But that scene, I did not know that story until I saw the movie. As much as I studied Reagan, it was incredible.
I tried to, I did record something which they didn't use. I mean, they filmed it at my request as George Otis. I did say, Governor, those were not my words. I only spoke what God told me to say. We call it a word of prophecy. That way the audience would have known what that was. Reagan himself didn't know what it was. All he knew was that he felt this current flowing through him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he heard the words spoken in a voice that didn't sound like George Otis. And it was not just George Otis, it was the Lord speaking through him a true word of prophecy, which is now immortalized in this movie. And so I'm just absolutely thrilled I got to play George Otis and reenact that scene.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Well, I loved the movie. I thought it was fantastic. I thought that scene was incredibly powerful. I loved the fact that, you know, of course, I think you've talked about this too, that Nancy was initially skeptical, but then she brought it up to President Reagan later. She's the one that was telling him, don't forget what George Otis said.
The exact words, I was there. No, wait a minute. No, I wasn't there, but they told me the exact words that when his friends and she were saying, remember what that man said? And Reagan said, well, you thought he was a crackpot. She said, well, maybe so, but maybe he was right.
Oh, I love it.
So they talked him into it. Even she helped talk him into running again.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank the good Lord that he did, right? What a renaissance for our country and a renewal of the values that made our country great. And Lord willing, we get back there. Pat, what do you say to the American people right now about bringing back? I mean, just as you say in your song, you know, the Bible and the Constitution, we're so blessed in this country. And we have the foundation, but we've ignored it for so long. What would you say to American citizens about their responsibility to start studying the Bible, studying the Constitution, and just becoming good citizens that know what creates a free society?
We as a people have to wake up, not woke. No, not that pernicious stuff they call wokeness. No, wake up and plug in again to the power, the absolute creative power that gave us America to begin with. Like you push an instrument into the house current and it works. We've got to push our government instrument back into the creative power that made us who we are. He's the one who gave us our equality, our rights, our freedoms, and he gave us the platform and the principles on which this country was based. And America, as de Tocqueville, the historian, said, America is great because America is good. If America ceases to be good or righteous, she will cease to be good. And we're headed in that direction now. The more we vote for things that we want, not instead of things that we need. And God lets us make our choices. He lets us. My book, my last book, I think, a copy of it here is still on Amazon at baboon.com. It's simply called If. And it's the most important word in the Bible. Every promise of God, I found, comes with an if.
Yeah.
Because God lets us make our choices. Down here it says, the eternal choice we all must make. And we choose our government. We choose our lives, our way we live. We choose what we live by. And if we don't choose the principles and the basics of this incredible invention called America, we will lose it. It will cease. Yeah. It will not continue to function as the country that we grew up in and want to leave to our kids. If we don't get back to the bedrock principles, you can't. Yeah. If you take the foundations out of your house, it's going to crumble. There's just no two ways about it. And we're pulling out the timbers from under our foundations. And Jefferson said, how do we expect to survive if we deny the one who gave us these blessings? Jefferson, Mr. Separation of Church and State, who also created the chaplaincy in the military. People don't remember or don't know these things, but Dave Barton, thank God.
That's right.
Barton and wall builders, you remind us of what these founders who gave us this country with God's help and seeking God's help, that we still have what they said, thanks to wall builders.
Well, amen. And your book, I mean, what a great reminder. It's if then, right? So if we do these things, then we get certain consequences, and the consequences can be tyranny or it can be freedom. depending on what we do on the if side of things. That's our responsibility, and you know, listen, this is what this program is all about for sure. We're going to take a quick break and come back with the conclusion to the interview with Pat Boone. Stay with us. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me today. Pat Boone, our special guest. It's actually a pre-recorded interview that I did for Wall Builders right before the election and just haven't had a chance to share it with you here on At the Core. It's just too cool to have Pat Boone. I'm putting it on every program I'm a part of. So anyway, we're going to jump right back into that interview that we had to cut short as we were headed to break. Here's Pat Boone with me on the Wall Builders program. If then, right? So if we do these things, then we get certain consequences, and the consequences can be tyranny or it can be freedom, depending on what we do on the if side of things. And that's our responsibility, and God gave us that responsibility.
One sobering reminder, God, the Bible tells us, created man and woman and gave them a perfect environment and said, you know, this is all yours. If you don't eat of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't need to know about evil yet. There is no evil yet, so don't eat that fruit. Well, they did it, and they died. It took almost 1,000 years, and they created a lot more people from whom came God's first experiment with the human race. But in the book of Genesis, it says after a while, God repented of having made these people because every thought in man's heart was evil continually. As they continued to make their own choices, they were choosing the evil side of things continuously. And so he wiped out that first experiment with a flood. Only one man survived, his wife and three boys and their wives, in the flood. And for a year, they floated above the drowning first generation of human beings that God had created. God is God. He'll only put up with our disobedience and our rebellion so long. And then he lets us make our own choices, and we reap our own consequences. He doesn't do it to us. We wind up doing it to ourselves because we reject the principles on which we were founded. So thank God again for you and for Wall Builders. And I'm just so grateful to have just the opportunity to speak out, because for me in this industry, this business, though people know I'm a Christian and they know I go to church and they know I try to live by the principles that I believe in, I've been a joke to a lot of people in my business, in the entertainment business, for a long time. But to their amazement and mine, I have survived. I'm 90 now, and I'm still got 3 records on the charts. I've been involved in 5 movies. I played Thomas Jefferson in one film that's about to be released called American Miracle. About the Louisiana Purchase. And I played Tom Jefferson in a dying scene, his last moments, while Kevin Sorbo plays him in his midlife. So I've been in part of 5 movies in the last year and a half here at 90. And I think the casting directors, if the word is out, if you have to play, you have to find somebody to play an 80 or 90 year old who will remember his lines, get Pat Boone.
I love it. Well, what they call the foolishness of Christ, we know to be truth and power. So God bless you, Mr. Boone. We're so honored to have you on today, and just appreciate all that you're doing. Keep up the great work. Keep fighting for truth, and we look forward to getting you back soon.
I'm still in the fight. Thank you.
Still in the fight. I love it. I love it, folks. Man, I'm actually thinking, as I remember that interview, I'm thinking about, you know, my own dad in his early 80s now, and so many of that generation that is still in the fight, that is using the Caleb example, right? I mean, think about Caleb, 85, what was he? Something like 85 years old, and he says, man, give me that mountain, I'm as good as I ever was, I'm strong as I ever was. Unlike the old Toby Keith song, I'm not as good as I once was, but I was good once as I ever was. I mean, listen, these patriots that have been in the fight, like Pat Boone, like my dad, for 70 years, and not sitting down, not giving, not, you know, saying I'm done, but literally staying in the fight, for their entire life. I mean, I've said this for a long time, until you're 6 feet under, you're not done fighting. And Pat Boone represents that big time. My dad is like that. Many of you listening right now, you're part of that. And so thank you for staying in the fight. And let's the rest of us that may not be quite to that point yet be encouraged by that and be inspired by that and get out there and do our part. Just like we talked about all, you know, Tuesday, there's so much to do and there's such a window of opportunity here. So just a quick reminder, running down that list that we talked about on Tuesday. We are absolutely going to restore biblical citizenship in this country, and that means you need to become a Constitution coach, a biblical citizenship coach, host, whatever you want to call it. It's not difficult. Anyone can do it. You don't have to have any background. You just step up, and you invite people over to your living room, and you play the videos. It's that simple. So you can do that today at patriotacademy.com. We're going to restore biblical citizenship. We're going to restore a God consciousness in this culture. So much of what Pat was talking about, absolutely critical for us to do this. And we're going to give you action steps on how to do that. Get the Ten Commandments displays, the In God We Trust national motto displays, the canceled monuments, the nativity scenes, all of that. We're going to restore that God consciousness in the American culture. We're going to restore a teaching of truth in our education system, homeschooling, private schooling, public schooling, all of it. We're going to get back to doing what it's supposed to do, which is teach citizens, young citizens in this country, how to be good citizens. It's the whole purpose of education is teach them how to live out those biblical values so that our country benefits from that. And then we're also going to make sure that we're restoring federalism and limited government. So all of those things, those are our action steps. Those are the things that we're going to participate in to restore truth, justice, and the American way. All right, we're going to shift gears now. I had the chance to do an interview on a subject that is actually really, really cool, and I don't know that I've ever talked about it on the program here. I'm sure somebody at American Family Radio has talked about it quite a bit, but not me. And it is the Dead Sea Scrolls and the fact that they are going to be at the Reagan Library. You're going to be able to go and see. Talk about history, talk about some of the most important history possible, talk about importance to our faith and the defense of our faith and being ready to answer and being able to show people that this is actual truth. I mean, this is one of the coolest things. I can't believe the types of artifacts that they are going to have with the Dead Sea Scrolls right there at the Reagan Library. Now, I'm a big Reagan Library fan as it is. I've been there many times and taken my kids there when they were young. I mean, it's a really, really cool place. As many of you know, I'm a Ronald Reagan fan as it is. I got a kid named Reagan, another one born on his birthday, and used to have a dog named Dutch. So, I mean, I'm definitely a Reagan fan. Well, Melissa Giller is the chief marketing officer at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. And she's going to be sharing with us this incredible, incredible opportunity. It's not like a weekend thing. So this is something you can plan for in 2025. If you've never been to the Reagan Library, you should plan a trip there anyway. But this is the time to do it so that you can see the Dead Sea Scrolls. Let's jump into that interview with Melissa. Melissa Giller is with us from the Reagan Library, which I love. And if you have not been out to California to visit the Reagan Library, you have to go. And now you have, I don't know, a triple reason to go, not only to see the library and the history, but the Dead Sea Scrolls. Melissa, this is amazing that you're going to have the Dead Sea Scrolls at the Reagan Library.
Yeah, so, you know, it's an exhibition that tours, but it last toured from about 2014 to 2018. Everything's been on rest since then. They've completely renovated the tour. So even if you saw it back when it toured before, you haven't seen this one. And we're not only the first location to have this new exhibition, we're the only location on the West Coast. So if you're visiting or happen to be anywhere sort of west of the Mississippi, the Reagan Library is the place to come to see this exhibition.
I love it. And I'm assuming you didn't move out the Air Force One exhibition that you have to move this in. So they get to see that while they're there as well, right?
Yeah. So one museum ticket gets you the main Reagan Museum, is Life and Times. It gets you the Air Force One Pavilion, which for those who don't know it, is the plane that served 7 U.S. presidents. You actually get to tour through it. And then whatever our special exhibition is, which is now the Dead Sea Scrolls.
That's amazing. Most of our listeners don't know this, but I got a son named Reagan. I got another kid born on Reagan's birthday, February 6th, and I used to have a dog named Dutch. So I'm a major Reagan fan, and I'm just telling you, people, if you go to the library, you will get to experience Ronald Reagan's life. It is phenomenal. The handwritten notes from the speeches, the exhibit where, you know, on how he grew up in Dixon and Tampa. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. It's so first class. And Melissa, I didn't know this till I was getting ready for our interview. It's the number one visited museum. out of all the presidential museums.
Yes, yes. So out of all the presidential museums in the National Archives system, of which there is 13, we are the largest. We're also the most visited. We've held that distinction for 20 some odd years. And wow. We're not just the most visited, but we're most, the most visited by like 100,000 visitors. So we're very wow. proud of that distinction.
Well, lots of good reasons to go there. But let's talk Dead Sea Scrolls. What all will you have for the exhibit? What can people expect to see and learn there?
Yeah, so there's over 200 artifacts on display. For those who don't know, basically in 1947, a teenager who was a shepherd of sheep and goats was out in the Judean desert overseeing his sheep and goats, and a goat sort of strayed away, and he started throwing rocks at the cave that the goat had gone into. And when he threw a rock into the cave, he heard a pot break. And so he kind of followed the noise, went into the cave, and basically discovered these 2,000-year-old scrolls. They date back to the time where they basically it's the entire Hebrew Bible, which is also, of course, the Old Testament in the Christian faith. And not just that, but they have found everything from pots and weapons and money. We even have the wood fragments of the Jesus boat, if you know what that is. Basically, in 1986, they found a boat that through carbon dating, they were able to prove it was used by fishermen on the Sea of Galilee at the same time Jesus was a fisherman. And we have those wood fragments on display, and it just goes on and on. It's extraordinary, a true sort of walk through historical past and a really interesting way to see how some of these religions were formed.
So this is the 75th year. So this is the anniversary of the discovery of the 2,000-year-old scrolls.
Yes.
And a once-in-a-lifetime chance to actually see these things. What is the time frame that you'll have the exhibit open?
Yes, so we just opened a few days ago. We actually had the exhibit for a while because we thought it was really important to have it long enough for people to come and see it. So we have it through basically September 1st of next year. But what's really neat about this exhibition is because these objects are so old, these scrolls can only be seen in the light for 3 months a year out of every 5 years. So we have this exhibition 9 months. So every 3 months, the Israel Antiquities Authority will bring an entire new set of scrolls. So eight scrolls on display at any one given time, 24 original scrolls over the course of the 9 months.
You know, here at Wall Builders, we have the largest private collection of Founding Fathers documents. And so we're into some of that, you know, taking care of these documents that are a few hundred years old. I cannot imagine taking care of documents that are 2,000 years old and as precious as these. Yes. So this is remarkable. I didn't realize that. And so for people listening, man, you know, plan your 2025 vacation if you're not close to Simi Valley and can just drive over anytime and go see. If you're coming in from elsewhere in the country, man, plan this year to go and see the exhibit and see the entire library. What would you say for the library? You know, you guys have so many cool things. You do the debates there often and a lot of different things. What made this so interesting for y'all to put this much effort into it?
Yes. Yeah, so we bring in exhibitions typically about twice a year. And when possible, we do try and connect it to Ronald Reagan and his legacy. Ronald Reagan believed so strongly in his faith. He also believed very strongly about supporting Israel. And so when we saw that this exhibition was going to tour, we thought it was the perfect fit. In fact, President Reagan often said that he believed that more problems would be solved in this world if people would just look to the Bible. And in fact, for both two terms as governor of California and two terms as president of the United States, he used his mother's Bible to swear in the oath of office. And that Bible is on display in the main Reagan Museum, so you can see that as well. So again, just the idea of bringing in a historically significant exhibition, objects that rarely see the light of day. In fact, we have some artifacts that haven't even really been on display in Israel, let alone toured the world. More people will see it at the Reagan Library than have ever even seen it in Israel. We just thought it was a very important thing to do, especially in light of what's going on in today's world. It's almost even more important. You know, there was a time when we didn't know if these items would come out of Israel. There's so much going on there. So the fact that Israel entrusted us with these objects, these priceless artifacts, really means a lot to us. And we just hope we can share it with as many people as possible.
I was thinking the same thing as you were saying that, you know, just in light of everything that's going on in the world, the foundation of of Western civilization and the principles that, that made America such a great nation. You know, Reagan was very clear about that. I mean, one of my favorite quotes from him was, if we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. I'm warning of an eradication of the American memory that will lead to an erosion of the American spirit. I mean, I think we've seen that. We've seen that that loss of patriotism that he renewed. I mean, it was one of his big goals when he came in. And the reason for losing that is not knowing our foundational principles. And so you're bringing back to life and literally to light the very things that America was built upon in those biblical principles. And it's just such a great opportunity for people to experience that and get to see that. There's no doubt in my mind. President Reagan's looking down on this and smiling and loving the fact that your timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. Yeah. You guys are instruments of that, right? And bringing these to light right now when we need to rediscover them.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. You know, we've been quite fortunate in some of these special exhibitions we've had. Our last big one was about a year ago. We had an exhibition called Auschwitz not long ago, not far away, really telling the story of the Holocaust. And that exhibition was open on October 7th, 2023, when Hamas attacked Israel, that we have these objects now from the Israel Antiquities Authority. And it shows, you know, you were talking about American history, but it really shows how the world interacted. In fact, one of the objects on display, they found in an area called Pilgrim's Road during the excavation. And it was basically the road of which everyone traveled to go to the temple for festivals. And they found objects in there that they can tell were purchased or created from the use of things that were happening in Pompeii at the time. So even 2,000 years ago, there was cross-international travel, there was influence across different nations, different cultures, and you'll see a lot of those things and how they tie into American culture as well.
I was thinking the timing, too. You know, a lot of people have canceled their trips to Israel because of the chaos and everything right now. So, you know, if you can't go to Israel this year, this next year, you can go to Simi Valley and see a lot of that history right here at the Reagan Library.
And one of the items on display, for the first time, they're actually traveling. A real piece is a 2-ton piece of the Western Wall. It had fallen off the top of the wall that surrounded the Second Temple. This exhibition has traveled before, but it was always a replica of the wall. And we have an actual piece.
Sorry, Melissa, got to do a quick interruption here. Quick break, everybody. We'll be right back. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
We're back here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me today. We got Melissa Giller with us. We're talking about this incredible, incredible display at the Ronald Reagan Library. We're going to jump right back into the interview, but I just want to I want to encourage you to really think about doing this. I mean, this is a you know, for those of you in California or certainly in the you know, Simi Valley area, this will be easy for you to do for sure. But I'm encouraging everybody across the country, think about this as one of your potential vacation spots for 2025. I hesitate. I don't normally like sending people to vacation in California. I don't want to reward Gavin Newsom in any way, shape, or form. But however, you're in this case, that's a side benefit for him and for California. You're really rewarding Ronald Reagan and rewarding the folks at the Reagan Library for such an incredible get to be able to have the Dead Sea Scrolls and these other items. So let's jump back in. We were just talking about even some of the extras that you'll be able to see there.
For the first time, they're actually traveling. A real piece is a 2-ton piece of the Western Wall. It had fallen off the top of the wall that surrounded the Second Temple. This exhibition has traveled before, but it was always a replica of the wall, and we have an actual piece. We allow and encourage visitors to leave notes just as they would at the Wailing Wall in Israel. The exhibition just opened a couple of days ago. I've walked through a couple of times. I've seen people praying in there, you know, sort of putting their hand on it and reflecting. It really brings in the emotion of what you're seeing when you're seeing items like that you know, truly mean something in the state of Israel.
Wow, you talk about a twofer. So you could actually go and see that wall and also see pieces of the Berlin Wall that came down all in one place at the Reagan Library. I love this. Oh, Melissa, this is incredible. I can't wait. All right, I'm gonna plan my trip, and I don't know. I know I'm speaking in California soon, so I've got to get out there and get to see this. Really encourage our listeners to go. What's the best way for them to online check things out and plan their trip, that sort of thing?
Yeah, super, super easy. easy, reaganlibrary.com. It's all that it is, reaganlibrary.com. You'll see all the exhibitions. There's information on the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibition right on that homepage. You don't need to purchase tickets in advance, although we do recommend that you do if you're coming on a weekend, only because for the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibition, people are pulsed in, so many people per 15 minutes. And so we sell tickets in that manner so that you don't come and wait because we're sold out for a various hour or two. We recommend maybe purchasing online in advance, but again, it's not required, and it's all there at reaganlibrary.com.
I just learned a museum term, pulsed in. So you have a time frame you can go in and look, and then you're pushed out, pulsed out, and then somebody else is pulsed in. I love it.
It helps with visitor flow so that not everyone jumps gallery at the same time. Sure.
Absolutely. I have felt that at museums before, but now I know what the term is. You're pulsed in. Okay. No, that's fantastic. Melissa, God bless you all for what you do. Absolutely love the Reagan Library. ReaganLibrary.com, folks. And by the way, get on their email because they're always sending out really cool stuff and they have really cool things. Make great Christmas gifts. I get a ton of that stuff for my dad. Still, he's still alive and loves. He's the one that instilled a love of Reagan in me. So, and by the way, I just random trivia here. I was so glad that in the movie they just did about Reagan that they included that printer of Udell and the whole story, because most people today don't know that, and that is still a good read today for the proper role of government and the proper role of the faith community in solving the problems locally. So, just a little commercial there for that printer of Udell.
So his favorite book, Printer of Udell, his second favorite book, the Bible. So what better tie-in?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Melissa, thank you so much. Thanks for all you're doing. Look forward to seeing you at the exhibit soon.
Thank you so much.
How cool is that? I know everybody's, got a million different things to do. You maybe already have your vacation plans, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do this. It will create incredible memories for your family. Take the whole family. Go be a part of this. Now, listen, I don't get any kind of commission for this. I don't get any kind of hey, thanks for sending everybody our way. No, I'm wanting you to learn. I'm wanting you to have this experience. I'm going to try to get out there myself. I mean, as I said, I've been to the library several times and even up to the Reagan Ranch, and just really, really cool stuff to check out. I love that kind of history anyway. It feels like you're, walking back in time, and there's some displays at the Reagan Library that really do make you feel like you're there. I mean, not just the Air Force One that they've got, but even the way that they reconstructed his life and the boyhood stuff. I mean, all of it. It's very, very cool. So just think about it, consider it, and you will not regret it. It's going to be very, very cool. So we had spent a lot of our time Tuesday and a little bit of our time today just talking about some of the things to be ready for in 2025. And of course, everybody's looking forward to the inauguration. Everybody, meaning sane people, are looking forward to getting rid of the Marxist out of the administration, out of the White House, out of running Washington, D.C., and the bureaucracies, too. I mean, we've talked about that, just the idea of actually shrinking these bureaucracies, potentially even getting rid of entire agencies, which is really what should happen. There's no doubt about that. But it's the kind of historic actions that you dream about, you hope might happen, but you don't, you just don't know if it's actually going to happen. And based on the appointments so far, based on the things that are being said and done, it's pretty remarkable just how much of a revolution we're in for in restoring America's Constitution and restoring truth, justice, and the American way, all of these things. Now, I say that not just because of the presidential race and, Elon Musk and all these kind of big changes that are being discussed. I'm also talking about the groundswell out there. I talked about this all day on Tuesday, the appetite of the American people. And then it's also just seeing the victories on some of these issues. I've been working on some of these things, no kidding, for 30 years. I mean, literally back to before I was a legislator, some of these issues very heavily involved when I was a legislator. I mean, I've ran for the legislature to get school choice, to get rid of property taxes, to get vaccine choice for parents. I mean, this was back when I was talking about vaccine choice and being able to opt out of certain vaccines, people in the legislature looked at me like I had three heads. I mean, it was not popular. I was seen as a crazy person. It was actually what cost me my third run for the legislature, because it was the medical industrial complex came after me big time. We did get parental choice for vaccines, and I just remember that one of the major issues that I talked about at the time was the Hep B vaccine and how absurd it was that we were injecting this into babies at a few days old or even a few months old when you only get it through blood transfusion or sex. And I just thought, common sense tells you this doesn't make sense to inject this into every baby in America that is at virtually zero risk at that time, or at least very close to this. I mean, you could argue blood transfusion if something was to happen to the baby that they would need that. But it was absolutely unnecessary to do what we were doing. And yet it had a downside. It had obviously cost, but more importantly, you're putting something into a baby's body without any studies showing what the long-term effects of that are going to be. It was just stupid what we were doing. And that could also be said for a lot of the other ones, but that was an easy one for me to point out to my fellow legislators and say, we need to rethink this. And I remember being shouted down, literally. I mean, people calling me all kinds of, just for bringing that up and talking about that. But that one specifically, Hep B, was one that I thought should absolutely be discussed, and that people should reconsider whether or not they're going to put that into their baby's body. And you should absolutely be thinking about that. Well, I've noticed the tide turning. And when I say we're winning on a lot of these issues, I mean, I'm talking school choice. We've gotten it in a lot of states, really good ones done. Texas is going to do that this upcoming session. We've got a movement in Texas to get rid of property taxes. I mean, these things that 25 years ago were not popular, and then when I talked about them, it was, people thought I was weird. But the vaccine one especially, there has been a significant change in how people view this issue. And of course, the COVID vaccine is a big part of that. All the injuries that have happened, all the deaths that have happened as a result of that has been a big reason. But I was noticing, even on this particular issue, and part of it obviously is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I mean, he's brought more attention to this thing than maybe anyone out there. And he's done it in a way that is incredibly professional. He has brought attention to it because of the deaths, because of the danger, because of the bad things that have happened. And this one, I've heard him talk about several times. And he talks about the fact that he's saying a lot of the same things that I was saying 25 years ago in the legislature in Texas. And people are finally listening when he talks about it. I mean, this is really, really good. This is a shift of seismic proportions, because in the past, when you brought this stuff up, I mean, even my own family would look at me like I was weird. And my wife's family, when we chose to not do most of the vaccines and question these things, I mean, they thought we were crazy. And now everybody's beginning, not everybody, most people are beginning to listen. So there was a one of the things that RFK had shared on this Hep B thing. So he said, look, the CDC's own research that they didn't release, that nobody would talk about, in 1999. So this was right at the time that I was fighting for this, but I didn't know about this study. It showed that kids who were given the Hep B shot in the first 30 days of life had a 1,135% increase risk of autism. Think about that now. So every baby that was given the Hep B shot in the first 30 days of life had 1,135% increased risk of getting autism. That right there should stop you in your tracks and say, why would the CDC hide that research from the American people? Why would they still give that shot, recommend that shot, essentially force people to do it because of the overwhelming money and advertising and the shaming of you if you didn't do it, all of that? It was all about the money for them. It was all about the money. And now we're beginning to, the information is coming out, and so people are changing their minds on the issue. So that's why I'm so hopeful right now that we're in for some big changes, because it's not just the election, it's these issues. It's the passion with which people are coming to our side. It's the common sense that is finally cutting through all the insanity. I mean, even in New York, where Daniel Penny has now been found not guilty of this absurd charge against him. I mean, this lawfare against law-abiding citizens. I've mentioned on the program before, I try not to even travel into blue cities where I know a Soros DA is in charge, because of exactly what happened to Daniel Penny. If you're put in a situation where you have to use self-defense to protect your loved ones or yourself or other people, then you very well may be the one that ends up on trial, even though you're stopping a crime, you're stopping some crazy person from harming other people, and you're the one that gets put on trial. Soros DAs are doing this all over the country. The Daniel Penny case has caught the country's attention because it's so egregious. It is shameful. It is a travesty of justice that this man was put on trial, drugged through all of this. He could have gone to prison for, well, even with the lesser charge that they went with on Monday, for 5 years. I forget what the total was that he could have gotten on the manslaughter charge. But this is such a travesty of justice. These people are evil. They have no concept of actual justice, biblical justice. They are a scourge on society, and they are running the district attorney's offices in the blue cities all over this country. And this guy, Daniel Penny, a hero who I think Donald Trump should give the Medal of Freedom, Congress should give the Medal of Freedom to, he should give the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I mean, this guy ought to absolutely be heralded as a hero all over this nation for what he did to protect other people there on the subway that day, but also for enduring this trial with character and integrity, for holding his head high and fighting through this nonsense. He's an absolute hero, and he should be heralded as such by our government and by us as individuals. If you put yourself in his shoes, imagine being on the subway that day, and this crazy guy comes in screaming and harassing people and assaulting people. This is a guy that has already been arrested multiple times, has been known to harass and assault people there on the subway. And as Daniel Penny pointed out in the trial, in his mind, he already knows there's been 20 shoves where people have shoved other human beings into an oncoming train in just the last year. So he knows there's these crazy people that have been allowed to just hang out in the subway, live down there, and constantly assault people and create mass chaos. And so all of that's going through his mind when this guy comes up and starts doing these things. And all he does is choke him out. And he doesn't know, he doesn't mean to kill him at all. He's literally just trying to subdue him and put a hold on him. Penny is a hero, an absolute hero. And honestly, it's Alvin Bragg, the DA. He's the one that should be put on trial. We need to be actually prosecuting the prosecutors that are persecutors. That's what we need to be doing. And it'll put a stop to this nonsense. And I hope that Donald Trump does that with the DOJ. I hope that the Department of Justice actually becomes the Department of Justice again, instead of the Department of Injustice. I hope that it does what it used to do, where it would go after, no kidding, prosecutors and people that were persecuting individuals, that were actually perverting justice. That's what the DOJ is supposed to do. That's the only reason you have any kind of a federal DOJ, is to go into those kind of situations and communities where that kind of stuff might be happening. And so maybe they will get back on mission once Donald Trump gets in office. I don't know a whole lot about Pam Bondi, and maybe some of you do, and we'll take calls next week on this. And you know, I know there's some good and bad. She hasn't been good on the Second Amendment, and there's some other issues. But when it comes to just basic justice, I hope that the Donald Trump administration can restore a lot of what's been lost over the last 4 years and restore our trust and our faith in the institutions. That's going to take some time. All right, we're out of time for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. And now I want to just take a minute to have a little bit of a heart-to-heart with you. If you're where you can, right now in this moment, put your hand over your heart. Just place your hand on your heart. Yeah, kind of like you say in the Pledge of Allegiance, or maybe you're just feeling something strongly. Can you feel that? That heartbeat reminds us of life, reminds us that we're alive. It's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception. It's only 3 weeks in, folks. 3 weeks
and that heartbeat is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on an ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat. Imagine that. They get to hear the heartbeat and they get to see that perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, the eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, the baby's able to suck their thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All your gifts are tax deductible. To donate, you just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and then baby, or donate securely right now at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.